Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Hallelujah. I was just thinking a little bit about a year and a half ago, was wondering what God was going to do, because we were looking to buy the building. And little did we know that God had a plan. Amen? What He had spoken, that's what He did. Beginning of this year, we bought this building, paid cash for it.
Come on.
I mean, 100%. But come on. What He has spoken, what God speaks, He will do. Amen? What promise are you holding on to this morning? Come on. What promise is God? If you're not holding on to a promise, go to the Word of God and find a promise. Amen? Come on, because God is giving promise. He's made promises. Woo, hallelujah. And if we're smart, amen, come on, we're going to go look for a promise. Find a promise. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving week. Amen? How many are thankful to God for what you've gotten? Amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Woo, man. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. I'd like to introduce our speaker for today. This young man is my pastor. Amen? Come on, man. he gets a little, he says, man, I'm, yeah, you know, whatever. David, come on up here, man. Pastor David, let's give him a good hand for coming. I love you, man. I love this guy. And I say it every time he comes, but I'm going to say it again because I really did. First time I heard him speak, it was at a youth camp up in Prescott. And it's been a while anyway. But there's something happened in my heart with this young man. All of a sudden I said, man, I just like this guy. I like this guy. And it's been quite a few years. And little did I know, the Lord had something that He was going to do with us, that Pastor David was going to help us with. And what He helps me with is that He keeps my life in line. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Is that right? Yeah, everybody's got to have somebody over them. Is that right? Yeah, now I know I look a little bit older than him. I know that.
Not really.
Quite a bit older than him. But yet this young man has always spoken to my heart, given me wisdom. Help me to understand some of the things that God is saying, some of the things that I'm going through. Help me to see past some of the things that happen. And so, and I really appreciate you, Pastor David. I really do. I call you Pastor David because you're my pastor. And I love you. And I want you to just let the Holy Spirit speak to you, through you, into the hearts of everyone here this morning. Would you do that for us, Miss Martin?
All right. Amen.
God bless you.
Come on, somebody. Don't you have great pastors in this house? Can we just... You are... I think you know it, but I really want to say I am unbelievably... Hold on 1 second. You're good. Not as young as he says I am. I thought I was just going to grab that and yank it up here. But you know what? I know you know this, but it says give honor where honor's due. And you have pastors that have... minister, to reach out. And what I love them is they're not just great pastors, they're great humans. Like they're great people. They're encouragers, they're lovers, they're soul winners, they're life changers. And you're probably here because you've been influenced by them in one shape, form, or another. But I have been, and I've been impacted. And I just want to say thank you, Pastor Henry, Rosie, thank you so much. And I'm just blessed to be here. I was talking to a gentleman the other day, and he was telling me this story about an individual that an old preacher actually that was baptizing people at the river. And so he's at the river, he's baptizing these people. As he's baptizing them, there's this older gentleman that comes walking up to the baptism, and he's intoxicated, he's drunk, he's wobbling around a little bit, and the pastor said, sir, do you want to find Jesus? And he said, yeah, I do. I do. I need Jesus. I need to find him. And so he said, well, come on out to the waters of baptism. He grabbed him. He pulled him out in the waters and he baptized him one time and he brought him up and he said, did you find Jesus? He said, not yet. He said, no problem. So he baptized him one more time, held him up down just a little longer. And when he reached, the guy came out a little frazzled, a little more sober than when he went under. And he said, did you find him? He said, I didn't find him yet. He said, no problem. I got you, buddy. And so he put him down. And this time he really held him down, until he felt him struggling just a little bit. He brought him back out. The guy gasped for a breath, and he said, did you find him? He said, I haven't found him yet, but are you sure he's even down there? I don't know what you're looking for today, but I'm telling you, I love that God's found us. And I wanted you to join me in the book of Genesis chapter 27. If you have your Bibles, I think probably the scripture will be on the screen as well, but there's an individual in the book of Genesis 27. His name is Jacob. Jacob's on the run. I love that the Bible just takes us to right where people are. It's not like church, because you know in church sometimes we try to polish it up a little bit. You know, we drove here. We wanted to beat our kids. We tried to get them out of bed. It's like when we got them out of bed, we wanted to put them back in bed. And then as soon as we open the doors in the parking lot of church, we have this Christian smile. Praise God. You're thinking, man, you were demon possessed on the way here. But I love that the Bible is just real. It finds people in real places, going through real things, dealing with real issues, humanity, struggle. It's not trying to water it down. It's not trying to somehow make it look better, because God knows that when he gets on the scene that it's going to get better.
Amen.
That what God wants to do within lives is something that is working within the life. And so Jacob is on the run. And growing up, I heard this in the church that, well, they're far away from God. And I got to check that. I know what we meant by it, but sometimes it makes us think that by our actions, we distance ourselves from God. But can I tell you something? You can never get far away from God. And wherever you go, God is there. Your heart can be far from God, but God's not far from you. God has never been far from your life. He's never been far from a moment in your life. He's never been pushed away by a circumstance or a situation or even a struggle. That it's in the struggle. It's when I'm weak, it says that he is strong. And so sometimes we read scripture and we think that, well, yeah, these people are better off because we know the end of their story. But can I tell you something? God knows the end of your story. God knows the story that he wrote for your life. He knows that you're going to have some mountaintops and some valleys. He's going to have some good times and you're going to have some bad times. He knows that you're going to be strong and you're going to be weak, that you're going to find humanity in this thing we call life. But if you're willing, not able, because God's not looking for the able. He's able. He's just looking for the willing. That if I'm willing, he's able to do exceedingly more than I can think or imagine. That he is able to do beyond my understanding. He's able to work when it doesn't seem like he can work. And that's what I love about God. And so sometimes, if not careful, we miss it because we go to the end of the story. But the reality is we're not at the end of our story. We're somewhere in the middle of our story.
Right.
And what I find is the beginnings are easy and the endings are easy. But when you're running in the middle, you're not sure if you don't see really where you've come from, and you're not sure if you can see where you're going. But I'm telling you, he's with you. He's with you. And that's what Jacob finds. Jacob has just literally deceived his brother. He's deceived his father. He's running with a blessing that actually isn't his. You know what happens when we become insecure in God or in Christ? What happens is we think we need something that someone has because we're not into a belief that God has enough for what we need. Can I tell you something? No matter what God gives everyone in this room, he's not running out of my blessing. Whatever God does in the lives of people, sometimes people, if not careful, we become like, man, why are they getting everything and I'm not? I don't know that, but whatever they're getting is not limiting what I'm to get. It doesn't limit me, but somewhere in the insecurity of Jacob, he wasn't trusting in what God was going to give him. He was worried about what someone else was going to get. And he was after what they were going to get instead of what God was going to give. And whenever you're after something that someone else is going to get, but that God is wanting to give you something, you end up grabbing the wrong thing that takes you to the wrong place. But when you wake up, he's still there. And that's where we pick up the story in the life of Jacob. Is Jacob is on the run. He is literally running for his life because his brother Esau is saying, I'm going to kill you. And that's not figuratively. That's literally. And so in verse 18, it says this. It says, early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and sat and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. And then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey, I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. Here is what Jacob is saying. Is Jacob is saying, God, if you do what I'm asking you to do, then you'll become my God. I'm needing you to bless where I'm at, and I'm needing you to bless where I'm going, even though I'm not where I'm supposed to be at, and even when I'm not going where I'm supposed to be going. Can I tell you something that I've realized in my life, if I'm not careful, is that I'll build God around me instead of build me around God. I'll ask God to bless what I'm doing instead of stepping into the blessings of what God has already done. I mean, it's one of those things where you begin to step into what God is doing. Why? Because what God is doing is already blessed. God doesn't need to bless what he's doing. It's already blessed. It's already done. It's already in movement. And so here's Jacob. He's in this moment of his life, and he's saying, God, what he's saying is, God, I need you to show me that you're real. Because what I'm doing is I'm taking what I can get, but I'm wanting what you have. See, when you begin to just to take what you can get, you may seem blessed, but you'll be unfulfilled. You may have more, but you'll feel less. That's where Jacob is. Jacob's in a moment where when he woke up, God was speaking to him. So he doesn't call it Luz. He calls it Bethel, the house of God. He begins to speak something about what God is doing in his life in this moment. And I love it because Jacob is literally running away from everything that he's supposed to be committed to. And when he wakes up, God's with him. Can I tell you something? No matter what you've done, no matter where you've gone, no matter what happened or hasn't happened for you, God's with you. God says it this way, that neither height nor depth, nor angel nor demon, nor the future, nor the past can keep you away from me. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. He loves you, and there's not a thing you can do about it. It is. Done deal. It's put into motion. And so here he is. He's in this moment, but he begins to ask God to bless what he's doing. He's taking these moments of his life, and he's saying, God, I want you to help me, and I want you to prosper me. I want you to bless my family. And this is kind of what we do is, God, will you bless this moment in my life? And God, I'm asking you to take this. This is church and my love for you. Will you just bless maybe ministry or church? And God, while you're at it, this is my finances. So, well, I'm not going to put it by church. I'm going to put my money over here. Will you bless my finances? Will you bless what I'm putting my hand to? And that's what we do is we're asking God to bless. God, I want you to bless my children. Man, listen, these are good things, but I want to tell you that everything I've already said, God said is already blessed. Right. That he's blessing. But if not careful, we get into a system that we pray out of an emergency instead of importance. We find ourselves in urgency. Like, okay, God, whoo, I know you haven't seen me for a bit, but I'm back. That's what Jacob's saying. God, I'm back, and I need your help because Esau's trying to kill me. That guy's a murderer. It has nothing to do with that. I'm a thief. He's a murderer. And so, God, I need you to cover me. I need your blessing in my life. And so we have so many things that we're asking God to bless. It's like, God, I want you to bless this. And the problem is, in our life, is we're asking God to bless something that he's already blessed. But what we're saying is, God, I want you to bless what I have, but I don't want to step into who you are. And I think this is something not just within our life, not just within humanity, but it's somehow how we think. If God, this is what I'm doing, and I want you to be a part of this. I want you to be a part of this. And we're not thinking in our mind that he shaped and formed us in the womb to win in life, that he went to the destiny and then went to the beginning to create everything in us to achieve the destiny. That you're not short one talent, one ability. You're not short in your life one gifting or one blessing, that it's all in you. And then it says that he sent his son to the cross, to die on the cross, not just to empower you to get to heaven, but to get heaven to you. And I think that's where we struggle is we think, well, if I keep my life great, I'll go to heaven and then it will be good. But heaven is a destination, but it's not the journey. My highlight isn't getting to heaven. It's getting heaven to me. See, that's the thing in times is just hold on. We're about to go to heaven. I don't want to hold on to get to heaven. I want to let loose and see heaven get to me. I want to allow heaven to come, because God says it this way, whatever is bound in heaven is bound on earth. Whatever is loosed in heaven is loosed on earth. God's not trying to just get you to heaven. He's trying to get heaven to you. And if not careful, all that we have, we're asking God, will you put some heaven on this one and a little heaven on this one? And oh, Lord, you know I need some help on this one. It's like, God, here's my moments, and I need you to help in my moments. Because we all have some moments in our life. And so God does exactly, watch, God does exactly what Jacob asks him, but Jacob keeps living his own life. Even though it's a blessed life, it's not a fulfilled life. Even though it seems from the outside that he's got what he needs to fulfill of where he's going, on the inside he knows he's lacking. That's a miserable place to be when it seems like you have everything, but you know you're missing something. When you're in a place where you know there's more, but you're living with less. When you know there's something greater on your life, but you're operating in something less in your life. When you know that God's touch or God's presence or God's principles or God's healing is for your life, but you're living in a place that you're not seeing the fulfillment of who God is in your life. See, those are the moments that God meets us. And what I love about God is he lets us be us because it's who he created us to be. But he's looking for a moment for us to become who he is, to partner with him, to give our life, to submit our life to him. And that happens in the life of Jacob in chapter 32. Guys, you can look, but you don't have this scripture. I apologize. Didn't even give it to you. By faith, though, it's 32:24, if you can find it. If not, listen, Jacob is at a moment in his life. God's done everything that he said he would do for Jacob. Jacob asked God to do, God's already done for him. And now he's at a place where he's about to cross over Jabbok, and he's about to meet Esau. And here's the thing is Jacob's having a hard time still not being Jacob, because when he goes to meet Esau, he actually sends children and his wives ahead of him with all these gifts, saying, Jacob might kill me, but he's not going to kill them. So maybe I can give him something to soften his heart. Maybe I can give him some. What he doesn't know is that God's already worked in Esau, that the miracle already took place, that Jacob isn't waiting for the miracle. The miracle's waiting on Jacob. Now that'll preach. Because sometimes we keep waiting on something when it's waiting on us. We think God's like God's old. He's been around a long time. Doesn't move like he used to move. He's kind of slow. You know, we say things like this. Well, I'm just waiting on God. I doubt it. It makes us feel better. Oh, man, I'm just waiting on God. No, you're not. God's in your future. God's already done it. God's light years ahead of you. Actually, he usually has to come back to get us, to encourage us to move forward to the next step in our life. And we say it a lot because it sounds spiritual. I'm just waiting here on God. You know what I realize? That God will let you wait where you're waiting. He'll still love you, but you can die where you're waiting. If you're not careful, you'll die where you're waiting instead of die where you're going. And it's a mindset that says, no, God's on the move. I'm on the move. God's got more for me. That God wants to work. And so it says, so Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. And when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip. The story is talking about God. Actually, it's talking about Christ that comes. And it says that he wrenched, so that his hip was wrenched. And as he wrestled with the man said, I love Jacob's passion though. He says, I'm holding on to you and I'm not going to let you go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Yeah. God, I ain't letting you go. And God saying, well, I'm not letting you go until you make your life my life. Right. We think this is a physical match. It's not. They may be in a physical wrestle, but it's over spiritual things. You may think you're in a physical wrestling match for what you're after, but God is doing spiritual things in your life. God wasn't there really thinking, man, this guy's a better fighter than I thought he was. Because it says in a moment that he touched his hip and it changed everything. He wasn't after trying to submit him physically. He was actually asking Jacob to give his life submissively. He was battling for the destiny of Jacob. And Jacob was saying, no, man, I'm holding on to it. I just want you to bless what I have. And God is saying, but I want you to step into the blessings of who I am. You do not need to worry about who Laban is, your uncle, that you thought you were going to score big and you scored big, but he deceived you. You're not going to have to worry about Esau, because I've blessed Esau beyond Esau's imagination. And it's crazy, because when Jacob steps beyond where he is with God, he meets Esau and he's worried that Esau's going to kill him. And instead, Esau runs and hugs him. And he says, Esau, I'm bringing all this stuff to give you. And Esau says, keep it. God's already blessed me beyond measure. I love it, because here's the thing, is Jacob's been worrying about Esau, but Esau hasn't been worrying about Jacob. Esau hasn't been sitting in his room saying, well, if it wasn't for Jacob, if it wasn't for that person that hurt me, if it wasn't for that moment that put me back, if coach would have played me, I would be in the NFL right now. Probably not, but we love you. I love it, because when Jacob finds Esau, Esau's not bitter because he got better. Right. It's so good. Amen. And if not careful, we can sit around in our life and say why we didn't or why we couldn't, or we can step into who God is and say, no, God, you work all things, not some things, but you work all things together for those who love you. And I love you, God. And I'm submitting. My heart is becoming willing. See, Jacob was trying to become able. God was just trying to put him in a place of willingness. That Jacob would be willing to allow God to be able. That speaks to a lot of us that want to control everything in our life. Man, I'm one of them. I'm guilty. It's like, God, if you got a couple minutes, I got some ideas for you. We could solve these problems real fast and in a hurry. No problem, God. I don't know if you know what's going on. God never looks out of heaven like, whoa, I had no idea. Sorry, Dave, I was busy with Peter. He's swearing again. No. God's not shocked by your moment. He saw your moment. The reason you're shocked is because you don't have the view that he has. He's looking over your life. You're just looking through your life. He sees the end as much as he sees the now. And he sees the moments of who he'll become, God in your life. Healer in your life, overcomer in your life, powerful in your life, strength in your life, that God is working all things together. And that is where God is taking Jacob in chapter 32. Jacob is saying, listen, God, make me able. He says, no, I just want to make you willing because I'm able. Jacob, I'm able. You don't know it, Jacob. I've already done the miracle you're asking for. But you're here in your insecurity waiting for something to change when it's already changed. And you're believing vain imaginations like, oh my gosh, I split this cattle this way and that cattle this way. And I put some kids over here and some kids over here. Just in case Esau kills some of them, maybe some of us can get away. He's having vain imaginations. Listen, he's trying to get healed from things that never happened. Whew. Sometimes God's working in our heart for things that never even happened. We're just making them up. Well, I know what they think of me. No, you don't. They're not even thinking about you.
That's right.
Oh, I know why I didn't get that, or I know why this didn't happen, or I know why. And I want to blame them because it excuses me. Or I can step in the presence of God and say, God, I don't know about them, but I know you're able. And I want to step into the willingness of who you are in my life. They will not increase my life. You increase my life. That won't prosper my life. You're the prosper of my life. They can't build a platform. Only you can build a platform. That is the thing, is we're so caught by who they are. But who are they? Here's Jacob so worried about Esau, when Esau is so excited about Jacob. The vain imaginations, the insecurity about the moments of our life. And God meets him at this place, and there's a brokenness. There's an openness. There's a willingness. And God moves in the life of Jacob. And then Jacob starts taking the boxes, and he starts bringing them together. It's amazing because there's moments in our life that God just moves in our life. I call them altar moments. And that's what happens in the life of Jacob in Genesis 35. After God does everything, remember at the beginning, Jacob had a list. God, if you'll keep me from harm, if you'll bless what I put my hand to, if you'll give me enough money to eat and enough clothes to be okay with, if you'll bless my now and my future, and if you'll restore my relationship with my father, I know I broke it, but you're the only one that can restore it. Can I tell you something? There are some things that we've broke that only God can restore.
Right.
He's the only one that can restore it. He's the only one that can move miraculously upon it. And what I found in moments of my life that I got to begin to recite who he's been and what he's done. Or I'll begin to think about what he isn't doing. I'll begin to think about what he hasn't done. Well, God, if you would have showed up here, I wouldn't be here. And God's saying, well, I'm right here. Are you here? I wrote this the other day. When I was thinking about it, is sometimes God puts things in front of us that we don't want, but he's still the only one that can get us through it. What he's put in front of our life can make us bitter, or it can make us better. It can make us weaker, or it can make us stronger. It can take us out, or it can push us in. It can stir us up, or it can empty us out. I mean, it's those things that don't make sense, that if God was God, couldn't you change this? He can, but he can't change what someone wants to do, and he can't change what someone did. All he can do is work within you. And here's the thing in my life, in my season of life, is I'm asking God to downsize my problems when he's trying to upsize my life. Man, that's good for someone here. You're asking God to, God, if you'll just change these surrounding things, that outside these doors are the same problems. And when I walked in, when I go back out, it's the same phone calls, it's the same issues, it's the same struggles. The difference is I make a decision that I'm not going to go out like I came in. That the capacity of my life is going to increase. I'm not asking God to decrease all my problems. I'm asking God to increase my power. My ability, my thought process, my thinking, my understanding that God, you're in control. Because what's happening is God wants to move in your life, but the adversary doesn't care what happens in here as long as he can mess it up out there. Just with one phone call. It's like, oh, God moved in church. Ding, ding. Hey, what's going on? Oh man, church was powerful. Really? Well, let me tell you something. It's like, I guess I'm just right back where I started. No, because we think of our Christian walk as a ladder too many times. It's like we're climbing this ladder, climbing this ladder, climbing this ladder. Issue comes, we fall off the ladder. It's like, all right, let's start climbing again. But it's not a ladder, it's a journey. When Mariah was little and we would walk and she would fall down, I didn't say, all right, we're going back home. Let's try this again. No. Wherever she fell, I picked her up and we started walking again. Yeah. It's the same with God. You didn't fall off. It's like I was up here and now I'm down here. No, you're not. You're right where you fell. Just get up and start walking again. Get up and start moving again. Get up and start testifying. Get up and start declaring again what God wants in your life. And so in these seasons of my life, worship team, why don't you come? It's like, in this season of my life, I got to start recalling the moments. Because what Jacob built in Bethel the first time was a memorial. It was a testimony of God, you saved me from what I almost did to myself. But I'm asking you to bless me. But when you find him in verse 35, verse 1, it says this. Then God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel and settle there and build an altar there to God who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau. This is what God is saying to Jacob. He's saying, Jacob, I'm not looking just to bless what you're doing. I'm asking you to build me an altar of what I've done. I'm asking you to step into my blessing. I have moments. I remember when I was a young man, probably 10, somewhere around there. I remember my pastor giving an altar call. Every Sunday he gave an altar call. Almost every Sunday I went. It was one of these altar calls. If you're here today and you might have done something wrong, you might be going to hell. And if you don't want to go to hell, come on up. I was like, I'm there. I mean, if no one came, he knew he could count on old Dave Swift. It's like, I'm pretty sure I did something. I'm coming up. I don't want to question it. Obviously, I've grown now, and I get God's grace and his love over my life, that you're not a son or a daughter one day and not the next, that he's committed to you. He loves you. He's here to walk the journey with you. But I remember when I was 10 years old, I went to an altar and really gave my life to God. It was around that. I mean, God changed my life. It wasn't just a kid move. It was a God move. And that's what happens is you got to start building an altar of what God has done to testify about what he can do. I remember when I was about 15 years old, I went to youth camp. Prescott, Arizona. Where's Pastor Henry? Hey, hello. Prescott, Arizona, went there, and this pastor, Dave Reaver, you ever heard of him? He was blown up in Vietnam, and then God healed him supernaturally. He was preaching. He talked about coming up and getting baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that God was going to move in your life. And I thought, man, I'm game. And I went to an altar, and it changed me. I mean, it changed my life. The power of God came on my life. I was never the same. It was an altar. It was a building block in my life. It was a moment. I remember after that, I was about 21 years of age, I was in a program called Master's Commission, and I was saying, God, I give you my life. I just give you my life. I remember there was this hallway. It was at a church called Phoenix First, and there was this hallway, and this church it's massive. It's called Dream City now. It's in Phoenix. And I think it seats like 5,500 people. I mean, it is monstrous. But every day we would go in there at 7:30. We would pray till 8:30. And I remember getting in there one day, and I had this little hallway that was behind the stage, behind the baptismal. I don't even know if I was supposed to be back there. But that was a place that no one knew. It was just me and God. And up to that point, God had always moved in my life corporately because I never made room for him privately. And I just remember I'll walk that hall and I'll be praying. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, David, I want you to give me your life. I'm like, God, you already have my life. He says, no, I have your life, but I want you to give me your future. I want you to submit your life to me. Not just for forgiveness, not just for empowerment, not just for blessing, but I want to be not just your Savior, I want to be your Lord. I remember that day I was like, He said, give it to me. I'm thinking, man, God, I want to give it to you, but what do you want? Like, I'll give you pieces. He said, I want it all. And I remember bowing down in this hall. I just bent down. I said, God, you have all my life. And I gave it to him. It sounded like a simple moment, but it was a life change. It was a moment that changed the trajectory of my life. People were talking about the call of God on my life. I couldn't see the call of God on my life. People were saying, oh man, after this, you're going to go youth pastor. I'd be like all spiritual, like, praise God. Yeah, that's awesome. And then I'd walk away like, you're crazy. Go home and get a job after this is what I'm going to do. Thank God that just because I couldn't see it didn't mean that God couldn't believe it. Sometimes we see people that we know there's more for their life, and we become so frustrated because they don't see it. But one moment in the presence of God, it will change you. And I remember saying, okay, God, I'm gonna give you my life. I'm giving you my life. I'm building an altar that I'm gonna worship you from an altar place, not a place of need, but a place of ownership, not a place where I'm just on the outside looking in, but no, I'm building something that only you can work out. About 2.5 months ago, I was just driving to a new place, new season, what God wants to do in my life. And I was just, honestly, I was telling God who he wasn't. God, give you my whole life. I don't know if you're asleep. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what time it is up there, but I want to remind you what's happening in my life. I was just driving. I was in my car. I wasn't at church. Didn't even have worship music on. Come on. But God showed up. And he said, David, the God that got you here is the God that's going to get you there. What I've done in your past, I've got more for your future. David, don't quit now. You're almost there. Like, do not hesitate. Don't step away from your problem. Run at your problem, because it's your problem that's going to bring the promise. I don't like to hear that. I don't need another promise because I'm not looking for another problem. But can I tell you something? It's the valley that builds us. And in that moment, just in my car driving, I said, okay, God, I'm going to give it to you again. I know I've kind of pulled it back and said, God, you're not fair. God, if you were real, you would do this, or you would do this, or you would work in this way, or you would hear my prayer. But God, no, I know I don't always agree with what you put in front of me, but I know you're more than capable to get me through anything. I said, okay, God, I'm gonna build this again. And what happens in the life of Jacob as he goes from a person that is asking God to bless certain things to him to say, no, God, this is yours. It's not mine anymore. My kids aren't mine. My finances aren't mine. My problems, my issues, my sin, you've forgiven. You've paid the price. You said there's a future. You spoke truth over my life. And if not careful, I can get so concerned with the facts that are in each of these boxes that I'll miss the truth of what God said. Well, the fact is that it's not working out like I thought it was going to work out. But the truth is that God has more than I could think or imagine. The fact is that my body's not feeling like it should be feeling. But the truth is that God is my healer. He looks over me. He heals me emotionally. He heals me physically. He heals me spiritually. The fact is that God, I don't know if you showed up, but God is strong when I'm weak, that he's there in season and out of season. He never gives up, never lets up. Never worries, never is concerned, because he knows the plans that he has for me, not against me, for me. And so it's good. I get to these places, but I'm just human. Anyone find yourself in the predicament of trusting God, but holding on to what you can hold on to? Believing God he's going to do a miracle in your family. Believing God he's going to do a miracle in your finance. Believing God he's going to do a miracle in your body. But I'm just going to hold on to a little bit. But today, I'm just believing God's going to set you free. Say, come on, let me carry that yoke. Let me have that issue. Let me work through that moment. Let me help you help yourself. Let me encourage you in the season that you're in. Let me begin to declare over the season that you're coming into. Man, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans to prosper you, not harm you. Well, this looks like you're trying to kill me. No, I'm not. I'm trying to prosper you. Will you stand with me this morning? I don't know if you've built an altar or you're in the process of building an altar. I don't know if you're living in the promise right now or you're struggling with the problem right now. But I know this, he is able. He is able.
Right.
He is able. He is able. He is able. He is able. You know the problem with preachers is we preach with faith on Sundays, but we still got to wake up on Mondays. You know why I wake up on Monday? Is so I can live out what I preached on Sunday. So that I can put into action what the Spirit has put into my heart. Because if not, it's just a good idea. Faith starts as an idea, but it causes a reaction that brings an action. You may feel like God's pulling you back, but it says that you and I are like an arrow in the hand of a warrior, and he pulls us back, but the arrow isn't meant to be in the quiver. It's meant to fly. And their seasons are alive, like Jacob had, that there was a pullback, but it was bringing a comeback. The pullback was to unleash him into a future that only he could dream about, that only he declared all the way back in Bethel. And he ran and he saw God move, but God was still at work. God was still faithful. We just bow your heads today. Lord, I thank you today for who you are. I thank you, God, that you're in charge. I thank you, God, that you're working all things together. Lord, I pray that you would increase faith in this house. Lord, that we wouldn't be consumed by what we've done or what we haven't done, but we would be consumed by an author and the perfecter of our faith that stands with us, that believes in us, that cheers for us, that declares over us. Lord, I pray against every despairing moment in this room. I pray, God, Lord, that you would break every vain imagination. Lord, that you would set free from the worry of what we did to the excitement of what we're going to do. That there be an anticipation created by a celebration in this house of a God that is bigger, that is greater, that is able to do all things, God. And I just want to make a moment for those that you're here today, heads bowed, eyes closed, but you're here today and you're far from God. He's wrestling with you. If you're honest, God's just wrestling with you. He's not wrestling with you because he's mad. He's not wrestling with you because he's disappointed. No, he's wrestling with you because he knows there's more for you. Because he's in love with you. Because he's not going to let you go until he blesses you. He's not going to let you go until he heals you. He's not going to let you go until he saves you. You're here today and you say, you know what? That's me, David. I've been far from God. And I'm realizing this morning that He's not far from me, that He is after me, that He is in love with me, and that He has a future for me. That's not what David says. That's what God's Word says. And that's you today. I just want you to raise your hand wherever you are in this place. You just say, God, I'm right here. Wherever you are, and I'm going to say a prayer with you. Wherever you are, just, yeah. I'm just right here, God. Because really, this commitment is to you and God. It's like, God, I'm right here. God knows where you are, but He's just looking to say, okay, yeah, I'm with what you're, my yes is coming to your yes today, God. Will you pray this, church? Will you pray with us? Jesus, today, I ask you to work on my behalf. I surrender everything of my past, everything in my now. And I declare today that my future's blessed, that my life is forgiven, that I have strength, that I have an anointing that breaks down the struggles, the issues, the addictions, that things will not hold me any longer. But you've put power to my feet to run the race that you've marked out for me. And I surrender. I surrender my life to you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, can we give God praise? I want to do, I know we've got to let you go. But I want to do something today that signifies that, no, God, you're in my corner. I love you, but sometimes I miss you. I love you, but sometimes I get overwhelmed, filled with anxiety, depressed. It's like, God, how do you work this out? Because He works out all things. God, how do you forgive this? Because He's already forgiven it. He forgave it before you did it. You may not comprehend that, but what He did on the cross, He said, it is finished. I paid the price. But you're here today and you're navigating a season where you need His strength, His encouragement, His love. Maybe you're in a valley. Maybe you're at a place of crossing over and the adversary is trying to remind you of everything that's been, but God is trying to declare who you are today. That you're an overcomer. That greater is He who's in you than anything you'll ever face. That there's more. That you're blessed, that you're loved, that you're built for success, you are set in motion, that vain imaginations and thoughts and insecurities aren't going to keep you back, but God is pulling you back. It's like you've had a setback to position you for a comeback in what God wants and has for your life. If that's you, I'm not going to ask you to bow your head, close your eyes. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand wherever you are, because I just want to pray for you. I'm going to just pray where you are. Just lift it up. I'm in this moment. I'm just in this season of my life. There's a lot of us. Can we do something? If you're next to them, would you just put your hand on them? Because we're going to pray for them. You may say, well, I'm not a very good prayer. That's okay. Pray for them like you would like someone to pray for you. Just put your hand on them, because I want people to know that they're not alone in this season. Because you're not alone in this season. He's got you. He's got you. He's in love with you. He's got you. He's got you. It's going to work all things together. Father, I just speak. Would you just pray with me as we pray for them? Lord, I pray, God, Lord, as we are praying for maybe some problems or circumstances or situations within our life, God, do it. Work on our behalf today. But Father, Enlarge the capacity, God, today. Put a mindset that I'm not going to be detoured by a conversation. I'm not going to be moved back by a problem. God, you've empowered me to overcome. That greater are you in my life than anything I'm facing. And as David came to Goliath, Father, and Goliath, the problem stepped to David, it says that David ran towards it. He didn't step away. He didn't hinder. He didn't worry. He didn't become overwhelmed. No, he just went at it in faith because of the God he served. And today we declare that you are all things, that you are our healer. I speak, Lord, today that you would heal bodies. Lord, you would heal hearts. You would heal mindsets. You would heal hurts. You would just work on the behalf of the children that you love, that nothing can separate us from your love. Nothing can separate us from your forgiveness. Nothing can separate us from your grace. Lord, I speak in the name of Jesus today that you would work only how you can work. Can you just sing this song? Just as you're praying, would you sing this song with us today?
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.